This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, District A. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Noel.
Joe, you guys had a meeting the other day with the Sewage and Water Board, Ghassan Corbin, and some of the members of his staff talking about billing issues. If you would, give us a summation of that meeting.
Well, look, before we went to the meeting, we said to Sewage and Water Board, this meeting will go very smoothly for you. If you agree that the billing is an issue and has not been done correctly, and you agree that the council has your best interest at heart and to work with our contractor who has been doing work with you already. And instead of doing that, they read a prepared statement that, in our view, suggested that they were not fully embracing what the council wants to do. And we really pretty much got extraordinarily frustrated, if not really downright angry, because it's killing us. And in fact, right before I was coming on the air, the last email I had is from a resident who says, my bill is wrong. It's overbilled by $600 and it's killing us. And I think, Newell, for us, it's two things. Number one, the volume of complaints that we get from residents and even from people who live outside the parish and rent is overwhelming. And two, it just does not feel like Sewage and Water Board has had the requisite amount of urgency to deal with this for the last now 8 years. And it kills their credibility. You can't go somewhere and say, well, they've done a good job on this infrastructure project or with raising money to do the substation. If the person says, yeah, that's all nice and well, Joe, but I have a $500 bill right now and I should be paying $150. So the upshot of the meeting is, I think we expressed the deep concern, anxiety, frustration of our residents. We're going to pass a couple of instruments, I think, at this upcoming council meeting. And our expectation, Newell, is that the contractor that we have working for us now on the back end side of billing, who's doing everything once you get through the full adjudicatory process and trying to move them up so they become the front end, is going to be implemented as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, I interviewed Ghassan the other day about the council's request for the door hanger being placed on the door when they would go out and check the system as a way to notify the homeowner that they were there and that they actually checked on it or that their meter was read. And he was telling me what they were trying to do instead of that, that they thought was more meaningful. I said, well, you know, Ghassan, it all depends on one's perspective. I mean, the council's getting their brains beat in, and this is not even in their main lane of travel, right? But they're getting right. All the calls and everything else. So they're looking for a means to be able to provide information and have the homeowners with the information, and information is power, that the meter was read. And it provides a level of comfort for folks, because there's a belief that runs, I think, throughout the city, you would know better than I, that they're not reading the meters, right?
That's exactly right. And look, Newell, to that, a couple of things. First, Sewage and Water Board's own policy, not the council policy, not the Morrell policy, not the Caruso policy, Sewage and Water Board's policy, is that meters are to be estimated 1 month and then actually read the next. And obviously, preferably, actually as much as possible. But if it can't be done, it is to flip-flop between an estimate and an actual. I have too many times when the bill is not being read actually by somebody, and for 3, 4, or more months, they receive an estimate. So that's not us dictating to Sewage and Water Board. That's not following your own policy. And then two, obviously an actual read is going to be much better than anything else. Number two, Councilmember Morrell is really the one who's pushed this door hanger concept and or a picture. One of the things we wanted to do was, fine, if you don't want to do a door hanger, then take a picture of the meter at the time of the actual reading and then have it be available to the customer. Well, Sewage and Water Board told us in the meeting 2 weeks ago that they had to integrate the software between three different companies in order to be able to do that. So I said, well, great. I know Councilmember Morrell has been talking to you for months about this. Here we are today meeting. You knew this meeting was coming up. Tell me when your meetings are with all three vendors to do this. Well, they had a meeting set with one, but not with the other two. So it's just, in my mind, I realize this is a big problem and they know it's a problem, but it's how do you do the things that you need to do to show the customer that you are trying to get them the accurate information? Obviously, somebody for now, until the smart meters are installed, actually physically reading the meter and then having proof that the actual meter is read is incredibly important.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand, and I said this to him, I don't understand the hesitancy, because everybody's trying to reestablish credibility. And I think we can agree on one thing, that the Sewage and Water Board doesn't have a lot of credibility right now. And without credibility, you're never going to move the mood of the public behind an organization. It's hard for anyone to really enjoy and celebrate the successes that they may have by moving to the smart meter program or the development of this, that, or otherwise. And the way you are reestablish credibility, in my humble opinion and in my experience, is that small steps at a time. There's no one panacea solution, no silver bullet, whatever cliche you want to apply to it, doesn't work that way. They want to see an outcome. They want to see action. They don't want to just hear words, and they want to see more than one action that leads to a successful outcome, right?
I 100% agree with you. And look, during that meeting, I even brought up by myself, not by anybody's prompting, the smart meters. I've actually been places, both through email, through people telling me, in neighborhood meetings, where people have said, I have the smart meter, and oh my gosh, we had a leak, and the smart meter notified us very quickly, and we were able to remedy it in real time. Well, that gets exactly to the point you're making, which is, here is a change. People see the change, and they believe in it. And I think what you're really kind of getting at is something my parents used to tell me all the time growing up, which is actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. People want to see what's going on. And look, I think generally, and particularly New Orleans, people know the infrastructure is old. They know it's been neglected for decades. They know that there are problems. But when you say to them, all right, this is the way we're going to remedy it, this is our timeline, this is what's going to go on, and then you either meet the timeline and people go, oh, this is fantastic. This is exactly what we're looking for, and incremental for most people, is exactly the type of change they're looking for. But then if you don't meet it, when you don't follow the council's rules, when you don't follow your own regulations, then people lose faith. And again, that anxiety turns into frustration and unfortunately even anger.
So what is the outcome going to be in your mind? I mean, are we going to get through this, or is it going to continue to be contentious? I mean, it's a little mind numbing, I think, for folks that we're not all pulling the wagon in the same direction.
Look, that's my greatest frustration. And look, Newell, here's two things I think listeners should be thinking about as I say this. Number one, the council is providing money to Sewage and Water Board to help with the customer service piece about making sure that if you get a bad bill or an accurate bill, it gets rectified as quickly as possible. So we're not berating the agency and saying, well, we're not going to help you. That's number one. Number two here also is we're the ones taking, in my view, sort of the political risk, because if what we're trying to do doesn't work, then it's on the council, who has tried to do something different and trying to go a different path, and not Sewage and Water Board, who just is going to have another problem. So my hope is we get on the same page and we do a couple of things pretty simply. Number one is we're going to put out an RFP, request for proposal, for somebody to come in and help Sewage and Water Board with the initial billing process. And obviously the first step is to try and prevent that bad bill from going out, period. But then where we're really dedicating the most amount of funds is the next step in the process, where Miss May and Gentile gets a bad bill. And rather than waiting weeks or months, that hopefully within one, two phone calls and maybe a follow-up email, we're done in days and hopefully a week or 10 days, and not extending the process. So, listen, we're committed to it. We're putting our money behind it. We're putting our efforts behind it. And look, we want the accountability from the contractor too. I mean, one of the things we've baked in to all of this is obviously wanting to make sure that timelines are improved, that outcomes are improving, and that everything is working better, because in our minds, again, this is how I feel, it's politically easy to beat up on Sewage and Water Board all of the time and kind of make it a red meat issue. That doesn't solve the problem, though. The problem gets solved by making the incremental change we're all interested in until the smart meters are all online, and trying to restore the credibility and making sure that people see, feel, can touch those changes.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we get to some resolution there for sure. Obviously, one of the other issues that you guys have been working on relative to power is Entergy and power outages. It seems as though throughout the metro area, actually throughout the state of Louisiana, we've been seeing power outages a little bit more frequently for a whole host of crazy reasons. Your thoughts?
Well, we're seeing more and more on that. Obviously, I've seen Jefferson Parish and Scott Walker and other of the council members there raising the prospect of what's going on. So this isn't just a New Orleans issue, as you point out. And look, I try and look at things when my anecdotal evidence gets high and my analytical information gets high. Then objectively and subjectively, I know that I have an issue. And here, my residents are complaining too often about losing power. That's the anecdotal side. And then analytically, people in District A in certain parts are losing power 2.5 times or 3 times a month. That's too much. And as discussed before, it's not like we've had 7 hurricanes or tropical storms through the metro area. These have been on clear days, fair weather days, not in extraordinarily heated conditions. So what's going on? And look, I think the other piece I feel about this is I've never been of a, well, let's starve an entity and make them so skinny that they can't operate. Obviously, you need to have capital and money to be able to do things. But at the same time, we shouldn't be losing power three, four times a month and not have a plan about what we're doing to fix it. So, again, I see it's the same sort of situation with sewage and water board. I understand Rome isn't built in a day, but what are we doing incrementally to do the things that need to be done to restore confidence for our consumers?
Yeah, I mean, it's and some of these things are outside of everybody's control, though, right, relative to some of these power outages?
Yeah, look, I think, obviously, if you have an act of God, a tornado, a hurricane, sure, that's out of people's power. I think in many cases they've tried their level best, and I hate to say it, but you've had an animal do something to a transformer or to another piece of heavy equipment. That becomes a problem. You can't outlaw squirrels and birds. So what are we doing to minimize their impact on what's going on? In instances, I'm sure infrastructure is old, things are hotter. One of the things I'm sure we're starting to hear is that last summer was one of the hottest ever on record and also very little rain. So the equipment is having problems at a higher rate. We also heard Energy say that in some of the instances in our district, some of the equipment that they got is faulty. Well, that's not Energy's fault per se, but it's about, okay, well, what are we doing to replace that equipment? So, well, I think you're being very fair, which is what I want to be too. You can't control the weather. You can't control nature. And so knowing that you can't do those things, what are the things that are within your power that you can function forward on?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Joe, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about these code enforcement sweeps. There was an article the other day. I was in Gambit or NOLA.com. I was very critical of the article, you know, setting aside folks as enemies, you know, that the bucket beaters are not the enemy and this one's not the enemy and on and on. You know as well as I've been talking about this culture of noncompliance. I've been on radio 7 years, probably at least five, if not six of the 7 years. And the moment in time that there starts to be a concerted effort to engage in code enforcement sweeps, which is not unique to the city of New Orleans. It's done in almost every city that's ever re-engineered themselves and taken the streets back. You know, that all of a sudden now, you know, we're viewing folks that are non-compliant as enemies. And they're talking about making mountains out of molehills. Are these really molehills, though?
Well, look, that was my quote, so I said that one. The answer to me is based on two things. One is I'm also very much a consistency person. And so when you see things being enforced inconsistently, as obviously I've had problems with on some of the city planning issues, it's frustrating to me. And so I do not like, if we are going to say that we are going to do something as a city, then fine. It has to be even-handed, predictable, and consistent. And and secondly, I do worry a lot, Newell, and in my perspective, representing a district that tends to be more affluent, I hear more from people about issues in Lakeview or in Uptown. And that's great. I want to hear from my residents no matter where they are. But I also worry that sometimes people get like the short end of the stick when they don't have access and they have a reasonable complaint about how that enforcement is being done. I'll give you one quick example. There's a house in my district where apparently there are some code enforcement issues. One of the owners is the daughter, the children of the people who own the property, put a new roof on the house and is trying to actually partition the house for sale because they realize that there's these problems and that one of the siblings is the cause of one of the problems. Well, in that instance, to me, code enforcement needs to do two things. They have to be fair about the enforcement and can't say, well, you're going to go 6 years without doing anything. But at the same time, if the family is trying to sell the house and trying to do things and put it back into commerce, then are we working with them to make that happen? And so that's where I sometimes have frustration is I think when you do enforcement and look, you've done it a lot longer than I have, so you know better than I do. I think you just need to be careful in the sense that it needs to be even-handed and it needs to be people have a level playing field.
No doubt. I mean, I think all of that makes perfect sense. It still comes down to a prioritization. I mean, it's not unlike we haven't realized and recognized the challenges in the French Quarter for a long, long time. You know, and I think people are weary of what's going on there. I mean, it's throughout the city. I mean, when you think about having 20 some odd thousand blighted homes in a city since Katrina, right? This is a long time, and yet we've yet to develop a systematic approach and remediation to the problem. I mean, and what it highlights is it really reveals the underbelly of the unwillingness of city administration, not the council, but city administration, to not really take this seriously because it would impact property owners. But these are property owners that, for whatever reason, are not able to deal with their property. That's fine. We understand those challenges. But it doesn't mean that we should allow these people to create an environment and a culture of reducing the value of everyone's properties around it. And I mean, you hear these stories day after day after day after day. I mean, that's not a molehill. I mean, that's a huge problem. And I think the same thing exists in the French Quarter. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I interrupted you. No, I listen, on the blight stuff in particular, I so much agree with you that A, be really good for the city. And I think they're trying to get there under Director Davis to have a blight strategy and what's going on and based on age and what is happening. And I say all the time, and again, you can stop me if I'm wrong, you want to talk about a public health, public safety strategy? Go knock down blighted houses in neighborhoods.
Sure.
I mean, they are right? They're places where people do drugs. They're places where you have prostitution. It is
go ask
activity.
Detroit. Go ask Detroit what they did.
and
it's not rocket science.
No, it isn't. And so I've said all along, part of the reason the council granted $20 million to code enforcement for blight abatement is because, to me, that's part of the public health, public safety plan. We have to go knock those houses down. Now, Newell, this is always where I sometimes will go back and forth with city agencies is there's also a difference between slumlord who's known how to evade the rules and knows the process and has kicked the can down the road versus the one person who has one little thing and you're elevating that one little thing to the top of the list. So I guess on all these things, What I like is, all right, who are the people who are the, pick a number, top 10, top 25 worst violators, and who are known to be bad actors and have done everything they can to delay, deny, defer, and make examples out of them. And then let's work our way down the list. And honestly, my hope also is, I think part of this is what you're saying too, when you show landlords, scofflaws, others, that there's consequences, then hopefully the people who are further down go, oh, the city's coming. Like, we can't mess around anymore. And then it regulates itself rather than the city having to be regulator in chief of thousands of things.
Absolutely, for sure. Thank you so much, Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. Take care.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.